He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Welcome to our Easter sermon. We are looking at three words that are well used these days: unexpected, unprecedented, and unreal, which you could take as the title of this morning's Easter message from Luke 24.
I'm going to read the first 12 verses with you. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they had entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their face to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened.
Unexpected.
Totally.
Unprecedented.
Unbelievable.
And unreal.
Totally.
I don't know what it would have been like to be there that day in light of knowing what we're expecting, thinking of what we should be expecting, and then arriving and seeing then what is unexpected and how to process that depending on who you are and your personality and character. But still, regardless of it, it was totally unprecedented, totally unexpected, and totally unreal. Or was it? Because there was a great deal of prophecy that would tell us about what was happening this day. But to acknowledge it as a fulfillment of prophecy on the spot, especially for these women and for the disciples later on and for the guys on the road to Emmaus, and not only then to process it, but to put it all together as this is what's happening, is almost hard on a person. Yet it's true, it's real, it's part of our history. I go back, Ron, to the birth of Christ and that song, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." And I just think about the word "expected" and what people might have thought in regards to prophecy back then, only to find a baby in a stable, in a manger. Is this what the prophecy was aiming at? And to think that this Christmas story's fulfillment is, again, not what we expected. Speaking of Christmas and the idea of gifts, which we kind of focused on Palm Sunday, the gift of Christ to us and what it all means to us as he journeyed from the entrance into Jerusalem right up until the day of the cross and then the resurrection. Gift giving is something that we don't always know what to expect either. I just had a couple of birthdays recently, and one person in our family received a gift that they expected. And that was a different feel than the second gift, which was my daughter, whom I purchased a compressor for. And every father should buy their daughter a compressor.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Needless to say, that's not what she expected. Now, I'll let you in on the compressor was hooked up to airbrush sprayers, so it's a bit of an artist thing. But it was a beautiful moment that taught me a lot about expectations, much like we have when we go to movies or when we do receive gifts, as to what we might be thinking should happen and then what actually does, which is really what is going on here with the Easter service in terms of our comprehension of the richness and the grace that we have just received through this true story of life from God himself.
I was a young child number of years ago. Many of you may not realize that, but it was a number of years ago. And as part of one of the things that we needed to do was we needed to sell chocolate bars as a fundraiser for a school event. And we went with the teacher, and we went with a group of us, and we were told, this is the street that you need to go down and sell chocolate bars door to door. And it was a fascinating experience as a young child to be able to do that. But one of the things that she told us was, don't go down these streets. Just stay here. And as a young boy, I kind of pushed against the boundaries that were set in front of me, and I went down the other streets. What ended up happening was the teacher couldn't find me. I was lost. She calls my mother. My mother comes and meets them, and they can't find Ron. It's crazy. Where is he? He was told to stay on these streets. After time, I was feeling like, oh, yeah, hey, wait a minute. This does not look familiar. I don't know where I am. How do I get back to where I need to be? And eventually I got back to the street I needed to be on, and my mother showed up. I was expecting to get a huge punishment for what I did. But what I received was completely unexpected. She ran up to me, she hugged me, and said, I'm so glad we found you. And it was this moment of unconditional love that shows up for us, for me anyways, in that moment. And I keep wondering again, you know, this crucifixion, this resurrection, all these pieces that show up for us in this Easter story, is this unexpected, unconditional love that shows up for us because we didn't expect that, right. Not this way.
And impressionable on you,
totally.
Because of unreal, maybe not unprecedented, but yeah. It's unexpected for sure.
Yeah,
I think that these women who came to the tomb on that early morning on the first day of the week were expecting a few things too, unlike how it ended at the end of the chapter or end of the 12th verse. And these women, of course, are preparing as customs and traditions allow, and that is to bring the spices because of the burial, and they approach the tomb, and I know that those spices are a way in which they prepare for the death, for the body that is deceased. And so obviously there's some indication by these women that they were anticipating something, and what we read next was not what they anticipated. Even though they were followers of Christ, even though they understood the scriptures and the revelation and the prophecy of who Christ is and was to become prior to his resurrection. Now they come also in other versions of the Gospels with the idea of who's going to help us move this stone. So there's also some preparation like we all need to do in regards to getting the job done. And so the stone, of course, is huge and it's heavy. And how are they going to move this? And, of course, they approach the grave and the tomb and find out the stone's already moved. And this is where things already get kind of, what is going on, because of the processing that they need to do. Not to try to make this too humanistic, but to make it very real as to how we can anticipate and expect something that God would give to us. And then we find out that the gift he is giving to us is not what we expected. It sounds kind of simplistic, but it's very helpful through the eyes of these first witnesses, these women who come to the tomb. And then the body is plumb disappeared. How do you explain that one? What goes through your mind when you see that? How do we process it today? Because we are still really inclined to understand death is so final that a body does not come back to life, even though we are given the hope and this message that we who believe in Christ Jesus will be resurrected and will come to life again everlasting because of this story and the hope it gives us. So, and then the whole idea of the words, he's not here, he is risen. It's interesting, Ron, I was in Israel a few years back, and it's a long trip to get there, just physically. And when we approach the site that they, that most people say Christ's tomb is, it's funny and it's an odd feeling because, albeit it's scriptural, it was also an actual sign that was put above the door of the tomb. And they, of course, had a replica rock rolled off to the side. But on that site, I came to the tomb and I could see something like wood above it. And then when I got closer, those were the words. He is not here. And it almost seemed anticlimactic because I came all this way to see a whole lot of nothing. But just the richness of what these women experienced when they came to the tomb and found a lot of nothing. Their spices weren't of use. They didn't have to move the stone. And there was no body.
There was this sense of duty that these women had that I find fascinating. You highlighted that with the spices, and this is part of what we do, the finality of death. We prepare the body. And so that was really interesting to me as I read this passage over and over again. But what's really interesting to me as well is this sense of doubt that you talked about. But it's not so much the doubt with the women, but also the men. As they go back and they share the story, the women share the story with the men. That in itself is pretty significant. We'll get to in a second. But this doubt, this sense of, are you kidding me? That is completely unimaginable, unexpected, unprecedented. What does that mean for us moving forward? And so Peter has to run, right, to confirm that that actually happened, that the tomb is literally empty and he sees the linens there. But what's also significant for us is the realization that the women are the reporters, the first people who arrive at the tomb, make a declaration of something significant for us. It's life-changing for us. And that, when we think about the Easter story, is something that we remember and we remember often. Because in those days, the women would not have been believed. Right? This was a pretty important message, and yet God uses them as his agents of declaring the world has changed from this moment on.
And it was unbelievable in the first place.
It was unbelievable in the first place. And so to have that, and so we are literally at a crossroads moment here happening.
And this changes everything.
It changes everything as we move forward. So we can think that we are literally thinking of this timeline moment that we're going through in our journey, in our lives. And at the crossroads of this moment, we are literally having a God moment show up for us. The revelation of an empty tomb. And like you said, that changes everything. And that leads us into a passage that we didn't read, but the Emmaus Road story, where the story continues for us.
Right.
Where there's this moment of the revelation. There's this moment of the empty tomb. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, unbeknown to these two people walking along the road. And when you're at home, I encourage you to read this next section. Very important part of this story.
It's about two men. And they're on the way to the village that's named Emmaus, which is about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And as you read the story, there's some parts to it that we would like to highlight as we close this Easter message, because it's very relevant to who we are as we encounter Jesus even today. And this is because of the whole special context of what the two women had reported, which now has been reported throughout history to the whole world, including now and will be forevermore, for those to believe, or if they choose not to still be wanting, to still be in waiting. But for those who hear the good news and receive it, understand the hope that it offers. And here's two men, 7 miles outside of Jerusalem, that are walking along, and this guy joins him. And they don't know who he is, but they engage in the discussion about some of the prophetic words in Scripture, rooted in the Old Testament, that people are pretty familiar with. And the conversation is kind of an impromptu Bible study. And these two men aren't really catching on to what has just unfolded in front of their very eyes. There is words that we want to highlight in terms of how their eyes were opened. And what happens? How does one prepare? Understanding that, again, these are unexpected and unprecedented and unreal things that are happening in not only the women's lives, the disciples as they first encounter Jesus at the end of this chapter, but these two men going to Emmaus. And their eyes are opened. And Jesus actually makes some comments that I don't really know what to do with, but are very interesting because they were kept from recognizing Jesus, and Jesus' words are slow of heart. Now, we know back in scriptures there's many terms about having a hard heart, resistant towards who God is and his great love. But now Jesus himself is pointing at these two guys as he's walking along, saying, man, you guys are slow.
And what's interesting about that moment is that in spite of our slowness, the two people's slowness, he continues to walk with them and say, here's what the prophets had said. Here's what's lining up for us today. The journey from the creation moment to this place of revelation, the empty tomb moment. And then all of a sudden, they recognized him. Mm-hmm. And they recognized, oh my goodness, we hadn't put all these pieces together. This is of such a significant importance, not just for them, but for us today. Because one of the things we talk about often, Rick, is this element of why do we come to church? Why do we do our Bible studies? Why do we do our neighborhood life ministries? Why do we do small groups in our homes? It's because Christ's story needs to be continually shared. And it's during that sharing that Christ shows up revealing and reminding us of the empty tomb and the importance of how we need to continue sharing the story with our families, our children, our congregational members, but our communities in general.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
And we want to just close with a moment of prayer, but also to relate this to us as to how we are to expect the unbelievable in hopes of having that penetrate our soul so deeply that that perhaps we are brought to emotions that that we usually don't have. And each day as we take in the scriptures, whether it's through the faith that we're forming in our children or in ourselves or in our families, whether it's the small groups that we're participating in via Skypes and Zooms and phone calls, but that we continue to pursue hearing God speak to us with this good news that he has given us the hope.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your gift to us and how we did not see it coming, but through the prophecy and now the fulfillment of it, we understand how much you love us. And yet we hardly grasp the depth and the goodness that your love represents. And now we pause in our homes. We think and say to you, thank you for your gift on Easter that is still alive and well today. In your holy name we give thanks and honor you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.